this is Greg Van Meer. I'm the lead pastor at Fairhaven Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast. Fairhaven is part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan. We exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Greg. I'm one of the pastors here at Fairhaven. If you're new around here, we are super, super glad that you're here this morning. And you are part of a sermon series that we launched a couple weeks ago this morning. I think it's a great morning to show up, actually, because this one in particular, at least for me, is one that leans into your life and my life and what we want our lives to actually become. And so super glad that you're here. I want you to know that at Fairhaven, we're part of a multi-site church. There are churches throughout the Grand Rapids area, six of us that are called the Harbor Churches, and all of us together doing just one thing. We're trying to help people. And it's young, it's old, it's our children that are out in their own worship experience right now. Ashley talked about students that are a part of our ministry that we go on retreats with and do mission work with and form small groups with them. We have adult small groups that help people get connected. All of this, both here and then around the globe, just one thing we do, we help people find their way back to God. And so today, if you're exploring, if you're wondering, this is a safe place to ask questions as you think about your relationship with God, or even if you're exploring one, we're so glad that you're here this morning. This past week, and I heard today as well, is going to be another amazing day, and we've had some incredible weather. And I don't know if you guys had any experience like I did this past week, and I doubt you did. But I was driving down the road, and about 10 doors down from my house, I looked out, and in the front yard on that warmest day in February in recorded history, coldest month is typically February, but the warmest day in recorded history, I looked in the front yard, and our neighbors down the road had out these lounge chairs that you can, like, lay out in, and I'm guessing I haven't met them yet. They're like 70, maybe 80 years old out in the front yard. He had a pair of long pants on, no shirt on, just living his best life out in the front yard. I almost pulled over for real. I almost pulled over and thought, this is a great time to introduce myself to him and her and just say, I need your autograph, man. You guys are my heroes, because don't we all love older people? I mean, I love it when you get that age that you're going, I'm just going to live. I'm just going to experience. And to see that was pretty cool. This week, I know we have some amazing weather that's on the way tomorrow as well. Like, take that, Florida. We are outdoing you up here in the north. And this time of year, I know for a bunch of people, it almost feels like what a gift from God. And some of you probably have the seasonal affect disorder where sunshine just does something for you. But all of us, I heard from a number of people that these bright, sunshiny, warm days, people are like, oh man, I needed that. I needed that. And it does something to us. And we could argue that needs a pretty high thing to say when we're talking about sunshine. We might put it into a want category, but we do know there's a difference between needs and wants, and our needs are going to be shelter, we need clothing, we need food, and we need water. These are things we need in order to survive. Without them, we don't survive very long. And then there are those wants that we have, and the wants could be we want a new toy, or we want some expensive clothing, or we want some really cool new shoes to fit in with the group over at school. Those are sort of the wants categories, and those wants are things that somehow we think, or maybe even convince ourselves, that our lives would be better if we had them, and we might be able to make a pretty good case for that, or that our lives would be happier if we had them. If I had these things, then I could really be happy. Then my life would really be good. And that kind of gets blown out of the water for a lot of those things that fall into the want category. There are a lot of pollsters right now that are looking at us in the United States of America and saying something's happening in the culture, that this happiness factor that is us is on the decline. And if you take a group of pollsters, I don't know how they come up with their numbers. I don't know. Some of you might be statisticians that know that stuff. But I do know that those numbers hover somewhere around that 40% of us would claim that we're content, that we are happy. It's almost like we're chasing happiness, and it's a little bit faster than us. It outruns us, meaning like 60% of us, somewhere around that, give or take, 60% of us are in that place that we have some wants that we want that we think might actually lead us to the place that we might be happier, that my life might be better if I just had whatever those things are. They asked the question, one poll was asking the question of people, a number of different things that would lead you to a place where you actually believe you would be happy. And then they put a figure out there, like, what is the number that if you had this much money, it would make you happy? And you probably already, you don't need a poll to tell you what the number is, because you could just go, I bet it's this. It's $1 million. Yep, it's $1 million. And the problem with that is there are a lot of people that hit that number. If you sat down and talked to the people that hit that number, not all of them, but there'd be a lot of them that would say, nope, hit the number, and it didn't result in what that poll is representing from what people actually believe, which raises the question. Is happiness found, or is happiness something we choose? Is happiness caught, or is happiness embraced? Are the things that I'm doing right now, here's a way of getting at that, are the things that I'm doing right now in my life, those actions that I am taking, those practices that I have in my life, are the things that I'm doing now going to lead to the version of myself that I actually want 10 years from now? Are those things I embrace, those things that I choose, those things that I do, these rhythms of my life that I'm engaging in, going to lead 10 years from now to the version of myself that I actually want to be? I want to invite you to open up your Bibles this morning. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, as we have for the last 2 weeks, in chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 8 and work through verse 11. Now, a recap, if you weren't here, just a quick recap for you and then for the rest of us as well, that the first 2 weeks, and then again this week, if you can back that up, we're not quite there, Izzy. So the first 2 weeks, we were talking about a dance with the devil himself and God. This back and forth between Jesus, God in person, and the devil, and they were going this sort of back and forth in the beginning. The devil's tempting Jesus by saying these words to him. He said, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread. And the reason he actually said it is because Jesus was hungry. He had spent 40 days without eating bread, and bread is good, especially if it's warm and it's coming out and you've got butter that you can spread on it. Carbs are amazing. All of us believe that, right? They taste so good. And so, turn this into bread. Jesus could have, but Jesus' response was a scripture verse that he quoted back to the devil and said, man, as it is written in the Bible, man does not live by bread alone. Again, this dance back and forth between Jesus and the devil, and the devil tempts him again. And the temptation this time, the devil actually uses scripture to tempt Jesus. Imagine that. If you want to hear more on that sermon, that's a podcast from last week. But the devil is using scripture to tempt Jesus, and his temptation at this point takes him up to a high pinnacle, says to him, if you are the Son of God, prove it. Throw yourself down, because as it is written, the angels will attend to you. And Jesus quotes scripture back to the one who's using scripture, misrepresenting scripture. Jesus speaks to him, saying to him, it is written in the scripture, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So what we're learning in these first few weeks, this dance between the devil and Jesus, is this. Number one, we are learning that the devil attempts to influence people away from God. His work is to attempt to influence you away from God, so that those things that you do, those practices that you have, that rhythm that you have, leads to a place 10 years from now you don't actually want to be. You don't want to be. Second thing that we're learning is this, that the devil tempts by twisting reality and twisting scripture. The first one is what he wants to do. The second one is a way that he actually does it. He lies. Straight up lies. And then, number three, we were learning that we are never alone. Even in the midst of our most difficult times of weakness. We're never alone, even in our most difficult times of weakness. You're not facing this alone. You're not doing life alone. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? The Spirit of God. Who is with? The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is with us. So today, let's tackle this next one together. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, and it reads like this. The devil took him to a very high mountain, this is Jesus, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him, and the angels came and they attended him. A lot of questions. Right there, a lot of questions here. And I don't know what questions are in your mind, but let's just throw a few out there as we think about the scripture. What's messing with us? What's playing with us? What's in our mind? The first one would be this. The question is, can the devil actually give you wealth and power? Because he said, this is all before you. Here it is, the kingdom, the splendor. All that is this, this wealth, this enormity of land and power. It's yours. I give it to you. If you will just bow down to me. Can the devil actually give you wealth and power? Can he? Which leads to another question. How about this one? It's the same question, just a different angle. Are not all blessings from God? Don't they all come from God? I mean, we often think about health and wealth, and we give thanks for the things that we have. We thank God for the food on the table. We thank God for the roof over our head. We thank God for the cars and the vehicles that we get to drive. We thank God for the vacations that we get to take. And we thank God for the health that we have. Are not all blessings from God? The devil, it appears, can give you wealth and power. Are not all blessings from God? And the question then would be, did the devil actually lie on this, or is he telling the truth? Did Jesus correct the devil for lying? Because he said, I will give all of this to you if you will just bow down to me. Did Jesus go like, whatever, whatever. You don't have anything to give away. It's not yours to give. You are incapable of giving that. But we don't find anything in the text that shows us that Jesus actually corrected the devil for lying, which doesn't actually mean that he wasn't, doesn't actually mean that he had the ability to actually give Jesus this stuff, doesn't mean that. It does mean this, that for Jesus at least, it's not the point. That's not the point. This stuff that you're offering me is not what I want. I want something else. And Jesus answers him by saying these words. Away from me, Satan. That's not what I want. For it is written, worship the Lord your God. That's what I want. I want proximity with God. I want to get lost in the worship of God. I want to spend time with God. I want to walk with God. I want to serve God. The Father and I, we are one. And I'm not going to get distracted by that when I have this. Another way of saying it is, what you are tempting me to want, I don't want. And what I want is God. And the reward of wanting God is actually God himself. That's what I want. The reward of wanting God is God himself. Which leads to this. Jesus did in this temptation what he did in so many other temptations before. In each one of these, he quoted scripture. That was scripture we just read. And that scripture actually comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it reads like this. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Why? Because that'll lead you somewhere in life. That'll take you somewhere in your life. If you spend proximity with God, if you spend time worshiping God, if you spend time serving God and God alone, that'll take you down the road somewhere. Your life, 10 years from now, it's going to look like something as a result of daily living into that. And, if you can back up, please, and do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. And that'll take you somewhere, too. If you're going to lean into and worship other gods, serve other things, actually go for other stuff in life that isn't the Lord your God, that's going to take you somewhere, too. And the result of that will be a life that is going to look like, be shaped by whatever you are putting in. That is absolutely true about our lives. Absolutely true about our lives. There's an author, his name's John Mark Comer. And I don't recommend a lot of books from this pulpit. This is one that I would. It's called Practicing the Way. Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. It's about being with Jesus and doing what Jesus did and becoming like Jesus is. A journey of a lifetime that we begin by being with Jesus and being in proximity with Jesus and spending time daily with Jesus. And the practice of that, just like this. Who have you ever been around on a regular basis that doesn't eventually rub off on you? It just happens, right? If we're around people long enough, they rub off on you and you become more and more like them. And being around Jesus is going to do that. And eventually to do what Jesus did and to live like Jesus lived and then to become like Jesus is. That is a journey of a lifetime for us. This is what Jesus said to the devil. All this can be yours. And he's like, I don't want all that. What I want is what I have. I have God. And I want to spend time in proximity with God. Let that be my life. I want that. John Mark Comer, his whole book centered on this one thing, and this is why I recommend it. This question, is the life I'm living the life I most deeply desire? I can't answer that for you, but you can answer it. Is the life you're presently living right now the life you most deeply desire? Is your daily life week in, week out? Is this the life you want? Is this the life that you most deeply, deeply desire? Another author, his name is Peter Scazzaro. He said something that I just think is so powerful. But he said, the best version of ourselves shows up in our 70s. Or the worst version of ourselves. The second best version of you will show up in your 80s. Or the second worst version of you. The third best version of you is going to show up in your 60s. Or the third worst version of you. And we all know what we're talking about here because we've seen people at their best and we've seen people that just as they get older, it's like, what's that? What's that? But those beautiful, beautiful people that show up in their 70s, you're going, wow, something happened in their life. This is a story of so many people that I know. It's a story of my dad. It's my dad's story for sure. He was amazing in his 70s, really good before then, really good. And he was on the way, but he showed up in his 70s when his heart began to slow, but his pace for people began to increase. His strength began to wane, but his love got stronger. His hands got softer. They used to be calloused and strong, and his muscles weakened. But his ability to hold and embrace and do life, it just got more beautiful. Why? Why does it take until our 70s or our 80s or our 60s? It's because there is a lifetime of formation that happens, especially for we who are followers of the way of Jesus Christ, that a lifetime where we become more and more and more in proximity with Jesus and with his followers, connected in the family, that something begins to happen where Jesus actually said to the devil, no, not that. I worship the Lord my God with all that I am. Everything. This is what life is meant to be. It takes a lifetime of formation to eventually hit us to the place where we become the best version of ourselves or the worst version of ourselves, because every single one of us is being formed over a lifetime. Every single one of us is a disciple of something or someone. Jesus said it this way, there's two roads, your call, which one you want to go on. And there is a wide road that a lot of people take, and there's this narrow road that some take, and both lead to somewhere, to something, to a version of yourself. Which one do you want? There's a way. I'm telling the truth. If you want this life, this is what Jesus said, then walk you in this way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. What Jesus wasn't saying is that this only applies to how you get out of this world and into heaven. I'm just telling you, if you believe that I'm the way and I'm the truth and I'm the life, you get some mental assent to this idea that that's who I am, then you have a ticket out of this world and into heaven. He wasn't saying that only. What he was saying is there is a way and there is truth. I'm it. And there is a life, and this is the way to proximity with and closeness to God that will shape you, and you will experience the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. It was Eugene Peterson that actually spoke of these things. When we think about what I said earlier, when we think about the reward for God is God himself. Well, this is what we're speaking about right here, that the reward for being in proximity with Jesus is Jesus himself. What Jesus said in Deuteronomy as he quoted it is this, that worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Eugene Peterson said it this way. He said that the Jesus way that is wedded to the Jesus truth brings about the Jesus life. over a lifetime of choosing to live the Jesus way that is wedded to the Jesus truth is going to bring out something in you, an incredible version. When you're in your 70s or your 80s or your 60s, a lifetime of formation to make you more and more and more like Jesus. Sherry Hondard and I were actually at Arrow's restaurant, the old Rainbows over there, with Virgil Gulker just the other day. And Virgil told the two of us this incredible story of this that I'm talking about. There was a mentor that works in the Kids Hope USA program that Virgil was the pioneer for. He's the founder of that and Love in the Name of Christ. Those two things came out of a dream of his and as he lived into it. But he was talking about a particular mentor. And what, if you're not familiar with it, we do it as well with Sandy Hill School. We partner a person in our church with a student over at Sandy Hill that's been identified as somebody that could use a mentor in their life. And we lean into that, and we have a prayer partner praying that God will use that proximity to that student. Think about the closer we get to somebody, something happens to us, and we can shape and mold. And we believe that over time, that can have this beautiful impact on anyone's life if we lean in and influence. Well, Virgil was telling the story of a little student that was being asked to report on who he wanted to be like someday. What a great, great question. What version of you do you want to be 10 years from now? What version of you do you want to be come in your 70s, 80s, 60s? Who do you want to be? His mentor's name was John, and the student's answer was, I want to be John. I want to be like John. Isn't that beautiful? I want to be like this guy right here. Well, eventually the student was asked, what do you think about wanting to be like Jesus? Here's his response. Well, if Jesus is like John, then sure. Then I want to be like Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That's an incredible story. If Jesus is like that, then yes. Because John was like Jesus, this kid was able to say, if Jesus is like that, I'm in. I'm in. That's what I want. I know this, when I think about the trajectory of my life, when I hit 70, you better believe I want to be the best version of me. I'm not quite 60, but I'm wanting to that be, at least be the third best version of my life. When I hit 80s, let it be the second best version of me. And if you wonder, maybe you do, I don't know if you do or not, but if you ever wonder, do the preachers that hold this pulpit on a regular basis, do we actually practice what we talk about? I'm going to tell you straight up, I know Jeremy very well, I know Lori very well. And the answer is, yeah, we put this stuff into practice imperfectly, like you, but this matters to us. Enough that I'll just tell you a quick story, give you a window into my life, and maybe it'll give you something to do as well. I had a conversation with my daughter several months ago, and I just kind of was missing her. She lives down in Indiana. We don't see her as often because she's 2 hours away from us. And so I just called her and was having a conversation and said, what do you think about us just doing a dad and daughter thing once a month? Just the two of us. We'll do something once a month. And so a couple weeks ago, that once a month time came up for the two of us. And I got up really early in the morning. And I was actually thinking about this stuff that I just shared about today, like the formation of my life, getting in close proximity with Jesus and what that can do to me to begin to work out these things in me, that I become the fruit of the Spirit, more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more gentleness, more faithfulness, more self-control, an increasing measure in my life. And for some of us, when we start to hear these things, we go, I think I have some of those down pretty good, but to work out patience in my life, no wonder it takes till you're 70. I got a long ways to go, right? And it's okay. That me too. We have a way to go. And how do we get there? And so I thought to myself, I'm going to spend all 2 hours with Jesus. Just the 2 of us. I'm going to practice that the entire trip down. Not like a Jesus take the wheel sort of thing. I'll drive, but I'll sit there with him and just be present with him. And so I left our house. We live over here about 2 miles from here on Port Sheldon, just off from Port Sheldon, and came out. And I drove down Port Sheldon, made my way out toward 8th Avenue. And I got all the way on this 2-hour ride just to be with Jesus and to bask in his presence and to talk and to listen and to be with. I made it all the way to 8th Avenue before the monkeys started climbing the tree and picking bananas. I'm like, what is going on? Totally left. You know, like, awesome. And I went back to Jesus and spent more time with him. And then I got distracted by the stuff. And then I went back and got distracted. But the journey of going back and recognizing he's always with us. That's just true. But just recognizing his presence and being with him on the entire journey down, every journey back got sweeter and better. And I actually thought at one point and laughed out loud in my truck by myself. I went, wow, talk about a group. And I know you too. For maybe there's a few of us that could spend 2 hours without getting distracted by Jesus. And if it's you, please, I would love, I'm not saying this just to say it. I would love to sit with you and to have your story and to hear about it. Because most of us, we're a few minutes and then our minds wander. And I thought, he deals with a whole bunch of us that just can't stay on task, can't stay present. And I wonder what that's like for God as he just looks at us and says, you're my children. This is who you are. And so, but with each journey back, it got sweeter and it felt like I'm returning to be with my best friend, to be with the one, nobody loves me like him. Nobody. Nobody has been as gracious to me in my life. Kathy's been amazing, but nobody like Jesus consistently over a lifetime. Nobody has shown me the grace. Nobody has the power and the willingness to shape and to mold me into that version of me that I so desire to be and to experience. That's him. And so I just want to encourage you, when we think about Jesus standing there and the devil says, all this stuff, so many wants for so many people. What if we just wanted Jesus? And what we got was the reward. It was Jesus. We got him. I want to invite you on a journey again, if it's again or a continued journey of close proximity with the one who adores you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you even for the recorded word that there was an enemy that had a different plan, a wide road. And then there's this narrow road. And so quickly, Jesus, you looked and said, that's not the point. It's not my desire. It's not my longing. I have something far sweeter, better, and the reward is God himself. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is that you were able to catch a glimpse of Jesus as seen in the scripture, and it'll help you as you live a life modeled after his. For service times or for more information about how to be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.